Well, hello, everyone. This is Singing Lisa, and welcome to another Focus podcast. I'm so excited that you're here. And of course, as always, I am praying that you and your family and loved ones are well. As we continue together fighting through this pandemic, we are going to make it, but we have to take precautions, follow the rules, pray much, and do what we have to so that we come out on top. But I'm excited because it hasn't stopped us from doing what we love and from finding out ways to continue to connect with everybody. And so technology is just king right now, and we love it. But I'm excited because on the Focus podcast, we like to take great people who are doing great things and bring it to the masses and let everybody find out so that you can appreciate all of the good gifts that are still flourishing today. And so I'm honored and excited because I have not only a beautiful woman of God, but she's my friend. And, you know, it's just a blessing to be able to call somebody a friend. But Tara Alexander is here with us on the podcast, and I'm excited. Can't you tell? And she is the pastor of Champion Church. Love that name. In New Orleans, the CEO of the Frontline Corporation and broker owner of Wellspring Real Estate, LLC. Well, there you go. And what a blessing it is. So, Tara, congratulations. I think I've been waiting a long time to say that to you.
Oh, well, listen, I am honored to be on. Thank you so much for having me. And thank you, of course, anything you say about me, I feel good. Because we've known each other a long time.
Yes.
But it's a blessing to me.
Right. Many people just, you know, they see you together and think we're friends on Facebook. But no, we're friends from college. And we walked those oaks and walked those halls and talked about a lot, sang a lot. Yeah. So we go back quite a ways. And so it's just so good to see what God does in the hearts and the lives of people. We both love our families. And so we have a lot in common, even have birthdays in common. We learned a little bit. So happy belated birthday.
For our birthdays.
Yeah, absolutely. That's right. And so, yeah, a lot of things to celebrate, a lot of wins in your life. And many people always see the light shining, but you have both sides of the story. And so I love being able to share that because some people need to know that it's always, it's not always a glorious situation. You have a awesome husband, beautiful daughter. And every time I look at you guys and see the work that is being done for you, it just makes me smile and makes my heart happy because you're just continuing to do what honors him. And I think that's what's so big about all the things that you guys do. So hats off again. And, you know, just great, great, excellent work. And I love it. So, well, everybody may not know all of the things that you do. So I don't know if the chicken or the egg came first. Was it the pastorship that came first or the real estate? Which one came first and how did it all, you know, start in your life?
Well, of course, you know, I am a recording artist, and in my life first, of course, was the music. My life was the music. And I'll be honest with you, that's first, second, third, fourth, you know, all of the music is always in there.
Right.
God just afforded me the opportunity, just like a tree, you know, they have some branches that go out into other areas. But I do believe that God had gave us the music. And then through the music, you know, we have different things that we try to focus in on our music. And one of the things that I love to focus on is change. And through the music, I just got to see, I know I got to a point where I felt like, you know, I wanted to use my music to make a difference. And you say I got to that point, to be honest with you, that was in us early, and I know you can probably attest to that. Mm-hmm. That, you know, my mama found journals where I would say, you know, I was going to do this in the world through my music, and I go back and look at that and say, what was this little girl thinking about? But actually, God has afforded me many opportunities through my music, and through that, I got to meet a lot of people and see where the state of people, you know, are in the world. And then through that came just my love for discipling people. And that came Champion Church. And from there, in somewhere in the middle of that, we all have to have a place to live.
Yeah.
So I went through some things as it relates to real estate, and I had always felt a tug in my spirit to own property and to own land and to have places where people could go. So in order to do that, I wanted to get my real estate license. And so in 2002, I had some other things going on, and I was able to spend some time just to get my license. And eventually, a couple of years ago, I started Wellspring Real Estate and started my brokerage.
That's fantastic. And it all comes together with what I love, because everything that you do, that any of us do in our lives, God has a way of connecting it and making it have a purpose in unity. And so that's what's beautiful about it, because there's not one area of what you do that doesn't touch somebody in some way and have it all focused, you know, back on to what has been afforded you. And so, yes, the music, you know, can't ever go without saying that you have blessed us with phenomenal, just anointed, beautiful music through the years. And we remember Greatest St. Stephen, the recording with them, and then just songs that we just sing today. You know, if anybody is not prophesying today, they just haven't heard the song. So, you know, it's just fantastic just to hear and see the growth and just to be able to enjoy and go back on it. And you've just given us such great, great music to bless our spirits. And so I know that through the music recently, you celebrated your birthday by giving us a little impromptu concert. That was welcome.
I had a ball doing that. Yes. Yeah, we do a Soulful Sunday at Vernier Landing Restaurant every week. That's just another way that we reach out. We do outreach, just making sure that people have somewhere to go and not be in a situation maybe where, you know, they're saying something that may be compromising to what you believe. So we do a Soulful Sunday. And so on my birthday, even though I know that the restaurant was closed at that time, we got on the restaurant balcony and just did a little something. Yeah. And then last week we did something in my backyard. So we love to keep the positive music going. And I call it Inspo Soul.
Yeah.
We love to have the soulful and the inspirational together.
Mm-hmm. You know? And the fact that your family is, I think everybody is musical, it seems like. If they're not, they fit in. Because we got the extraordinary Jeffrey Bean Alexander, beautiful daughter Tiara. I know she's on the cooking side of things with the Sweet Legacy, but she's got that mic under control too.
Yeah, she is something. My husband is a drummer. Well, you know, I thank God because we met in the industry. He's a well-respected drummer, and he is a blessing, and he plays around the world. And I thank God that, you know, he's home right now, so every time I want to do a concert, I got him available. He's not on tour right now, so I love that. But then my daughter, she's actually in social work. She calls herself a social worker in the kitchen because she's a PhD student at LSU studying social work, and she loves everything kitchen. She loves everything kitchen. So her research is on food and family connectedness.
Awesome.
And we just happened to use the platform that we have. So through music, through all of these different things, she looks at how families connect. And so we got her on a mic, you know, at least it took something. But we got her, you know, I was doing a funny story. I was, you know, my daughter would always be like, she could really sing in the house. And I was doing background for something, and, you know, she would be like, oh, she let everybody else do it. But then I got a chance to record a couple of CDs with Harry Connick, and all of a sudden she got real anointed and got really interested.
So, good timing. I love it.
Great timing, you know. And so she's a part of it. So it's really awesome. I don't know if you see my daughter, but I also have two bonus kids, Janae and Jeff. And on Sunday, Lisa, all of us, my husband got them all together and grandkids and everybody. And so we got to see, we did a little something on Facebook together. And,
I didn't see it all. I kind of got it. And I said, oh, I got to come back to this because it looked like so much fun. Everybody was doing something.
So Lil Jeff plays drums as well. So everybody, whether they want to or not, they got to shake a tambourine. They got to do something.
Well, hey, put everybody to work. And they're working for the kingdom. Awesome. I love it. Well, you never have a dull moment because everybody is there. Somebody's there to do something so that we can get that music out. And I mean, you've had wonderful opportunities to travel around the country. You talk about that in different ways and share, you know, with all of us. And then you, Harry Connick, I mean, who doesn't love Harry Connick? That's New Orleans right there. And so to be able to do something with him, my goodness, what a treat. What an exciting opportunity. So, and you've worked, I think, twice with him. So is something coming out coming up soon?
Well, we do have a show that we did with them just a couple of weeks ago. Now, we did the CDs. That was some years ago, a couple of CDs with them. But the what we have coming up is a special that's coming out, I believe, in a couple of weeks on CBS, where the we are there as the choir, a part of a series that he's doing around the country, just really sharing about some of the heroes of this COVID-19 and people that are on the front line, people we may not even know that's doing some great things. So we got a chance to have a group of people, not just my family, but people from different churches and different different choirs, whatever, pulled them together, Jessica Harvey, a couple other singers. We pulled them together and we got a chance to do a choir sing with him for that show.
Oh, so, yeah. Represent New Orleans. We love it.
And the kingdom. Yeah.
And especially.
More than anything.
Yes. Well, that's exciting and definitely awesome. And of course, you know, being able to do that with all of the music that you have in your experience and background just opens many, many doors and touches many, many people. And so I don't want to overlook the real estate, because you've been able to use that to be a blessing to the community. I think I read where you kind of went out one day to do some community service, and then y'all been doing it ever since, like 9 years later, right?
And right now, let me see, the bio says 9, but right now it's been about 11 to 12 years.
Okay.
And we have been on Broad Street. We got a chance. We wanted to do a one night, you know how we do, Lisa said, we think that's what we're doing, and God set it up for more. Mm-hmm. But we wanted to do a one night of refreshing, so to speak, for my friends and people I knew that were working in ministry. And this was January 2009. And I will never forget it. And it was a blessing. It was really just a time of worship and prayer and the word. And we thought that's what it would be. But at the end, we had an offering. And at the end, the monies that were left in the offering gave us enough to do one more night, which was another Tuesday night. And so we had that just continued and continued really all the way until last year. And the reason I say that is because this year, what we weren't able to do the Sundays because of different things, but then all of a sudden here comes COVID and what have you. But from there, we got to meet a lot of people off the street and who we didn't know and who had situations where they were dealing with housing. And that has really been something. And through all of that, it really, even though I had that bug for real estate, it gave me a drive even more so to make sure that I had a license that would help people if they got into a situation where they needed housing.
So once again, everybody, this is our good friend, my good friend, and I know she's a friend of everyone who loves the Lord, Tara Alexander, and a recording artist. She is a pastor, and of course, she's a business owner and everything else. How did they say dot, dot, dot? So, and what a blessing to just have so many gifts and not to be selfish. You know, she's not holding them in. She's exposing them, and everybody knows all of the gifts that come through Tara Alexander, her husband, the ministry. And so we were talking about getting into the real estate. We were talking about the food and how you all were donating and helping to feed and be in the community. But of course, you have the church. So how does that tie in, and when did the church begin?
Well, the church became out of the outreach. We started the outreach, like I said, in 2009, and that was supposed to be one day. That's all we thought it would be. Mm-hmm. And that was an outreach to people who were in ministry kind of working, and all of us were expressing, you know, kind of a you know, just burnout in some ways. And so we thought this would be a great way to just have a night. And from there, we had enough to start to go another night. And from there, it just went on and on until we got to the point where people they were coming in from, it was a population where a lot of people were living on the street and basically a neighborhood like that. And so people started coming in, we started servicing them. And we wanted to, that night actually was a night of refreshing. And from there, people just started attending from the community. Mm-hmm. From there, of course, the friends, and I'm not going to say my friends, but there were those who were a part who felt like, Tara, there are too many people off the street coming here. We can't come here with those people here.
Yeah.
And that was a challenge for me, because that's the people who Jesus came for.
Mm.
So eventually, the people who were just said middle class and whatever. They kind of eased out, except those who wanted to help. And then those who from off the street just kept coming. But I kept trying to send them to other ministries because we weren't a church. We're not a church. Go find you a church and a pastor. You know,
we were just sharing and feeding and helping you for the time being.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's what I thought we were doing. And so a couple of years in, it became obvious, and not necessarily obvious to me, obvious to them on the street, because they started calling me the street pastor. And I kept arguing that I was not. And even, like I said, other pastors I would talk to, finally Pastor Barry was like, Tyra, if you're serving 50 people on the sidewalk on a consistent basis and things like that, I think you need, whatever, you need to do something about it. Finally, in 2012, we made that decision. And in 13, we decided to, we believe it was the Lord leading to plant a church in that community. And so from there, now we have the church in the place.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, you know, it starts with a seed, and you definitely did that. And it was obvious to those that something good was in the neighborhood. And so you guys are still there, still blessing people. And then like God does, he takes that seed and plants it somewhere else. And so the growth continues. And so that's exciting. And just a beautiful, strong name, Champion Church. I mean, it's clear cut who you are, and you don't even have to guess about it. Now, I want to jump to what I keep missing every year is the Shiro Conference, because I don't know what happens with December and January. And then I'm saying, wait, what?
Right.
But I love the name, and I love what you all do. I get to, you know, check it out after everything is done, and look at all of the wonderful work and networking and fellowshipping that you do. So when did the Shiro Conference, get born?
It happens. Shiro Conference happens every year, January, usually the first weekend in January. It starts the first Thursday. So whenever the first Thursday starts, you'll know from now on, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Shiro Conference every year. And that came out, it's one of those things that came out of the, again, coming together with my friends, because I wanted to put my smart friends in the room together. And that's literally how it happened. It was like, y'all don't know each other, but they knew me. And so I got them together in a room, Lisa Cation and Jay Brown Russell and Vanessa Reed and Kim Andrews and all of these different people that I knew, Tiffany Joseph, I knew them. They were all had gifts and talents in different areas, but we came together under one roof just to kind of pull from one another and network, kind of like you and I are doing right now. And that's all Shiro is about. It's not necessarily, quote unquote, an organization or a club or anything like that. But what we are is a network, and we work the net. We call our sisters. If it's, you know, if I need legal help, I'm calling this one. If I need this, I'm calling that one. And we help one another. And so that's grown through the years. But that just comes from us wanting to share what we know with the other sisters and friends.
Well, it's working and doing great things and growing and growing. And I see the results of it, because many women are still coming together, and you all do some powerful, really personable networking, and you go internal to the woman. I've seen where people are touched and they're healed and they're changed and affected in a way that they wouldn't get anywhere else because of that fellowship. So it's definitely making a difference for a lot of people. And so, you know, keep it going. Let everybody be a Shiro, because we definitely, we know that today, that we have those as well as as well as our heroes. And so, you know, jumping from there, I know that we present day are dealing with a situation that none of us have seen before, because we weren't here 100 years ago. But where were you when you first started learning about the movement of COVID-19?
COVID-19, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
I believe that week my godmother was in the hospital, and I do some work, of course, I work with the team at the Dryads YMCA, and that was where I first started realizing that this thing is serious. And so between her being in the hospital and me having to visit the hospital, of course, you see everything starting to change, and you're wondering what things going on. And I actually ended up having to go for a visit myself because of something strange that kind of happened. And I went, and the doctor, you know, basically told me, hey, look, you know, if you don't have to come here, don't. And that was really something because I was on something that had nothing to do with COVID. And it was something that was kind of strange that happened health-wise. But the thing about it was I knew that that was a change then. So when I had to go to that visit, I had to go to a follow-up visit. When I went to the follow-up visit, the doctor, who was a new doctor to me, you know, literally was crying for another doctor who had all of a sudden taken ill and had gotten, had contracted COVID from a patient. And they asked me at that point to, you know, please, whatever you do, this is everything from here will be televisit. Please don't come back here. So I was in the middle of somebody I know being in the hospital, me having a doctor's visit, and me trying to figure out with this nonprofit organization, how do we deal with even the possibility of closing for a while. And so, yeah, it really is a challenge, definitely a challenge.
Wow. So you had to make changes as well because of business decisions and
mm-hmm. and just, help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and your help, my goodness. And just being there pretty much when things started, and then a family member. About like what everybody's facing today, there are multiple areas where everybody has a concern. They're either knowing about relatives or friends in the hospital, or they're worried about work, not working, or how do we keep working? Yeah. So all of those things happened early on for you. And so what types of changes did you make just as you were learning about how you had to navigate?
Yeah. Well, I think the main thing for me is understanding the seriousness of it, because I know as a minister, you know, of course I'm thinking, you know, about the people that I serve, and it's our ministry is a little different because we're not talking about the regular, you know, X amount of people coming. Sometimes we have different amount of people. Sometimes it's barely anybody because we deal with a certain, you know, kind of transient population mm-hmm. quite a bit. So for us, it's dealing with people who may not have the resources or even the understanding. I'm not talking about resources financially. I'm really talking about resources in every way, relational resources and things like that, to be able to have somewhere to go. Mm-hmm. If there was this thing where everybody had to kind of lock down, mm-hmm. You know, I'm thinking about all of those things. I'm thinking about my mother being out of town. So what I've had to do is really just one of the first things I did was, I know we had the internet, of course, immediately, but we got on the internet every single day. And that was something that we did early on because I felt that it was fine for the moment. People were kind of dealing with it, and it would be okay if it's a week, you know, but what would happen if it's months and years? Mm-hmm. But we wanted to make sure that we were a voice of consistency and provide them a consistent place to go. That was the first thing we did ministry-wise, is to do what we should have done a long time ago, and that is to make sure that we had a consistent voice on the web. That was something. The other thing was to make sure that I had to do differently because I'm, you know, though we have these cell phones, and I have mine right here, mm-hmm. but we have these cell phones, I don't know anybody's number.
Okay.
Nor do I know their addresses.
Yes.
And I thought, well, if this web goes out, how do I get in touch with these people? How do I make sure that I know where everyone lives? So those people under my sphere of influence or what have you, I asked them, listen, send me your address. Give me your address, because just in case, and this hasn't happened yet, just in case this internet fails us or something, right. I want to know where you live. So yeah. I had to make sure of that. The other thing is I made sure that I had to, ministry-wise, is, and I'm talking about ministry and family, and family mm-hmm. is all sure. one, you know. And the other thing I wanted to make sure was that we, people have provided emergency contacts, because sometimes you only have this person in your house number.
Yeah. But
if it's anybody else, let me know just in case.
Yes.
I'm ill and, you know, what have you. So we wanted to do that and put those things in place. Besides the fact that we are wearing masks and are very serious about it and staying home.
Yes.
And staying home.
Social distancing, no problem.
Yeah, no problem. No problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, no problem. Because it's really, really, you know, I looked at it, I've been looking at it as a time to reset mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. But I know, and I'm very clear, and one of the things I'm real concerned about right now, if I can just kind of interject, I'm real mm-hmm. concerned about is making sure that people who live alone or who don't have family in town or though, you know, whatever the situation is, who live alone, or just that they have the camaraderie, right, and the sisterhood or the brotherhood, whatever it is, mm-hmm, that has really been my concern, because I think that people, you know, God did not, he does not design this like this. And this really, really is speaking to how much people are more isolated than they think.
Yes. I mean, exactly what you said. It's time for the neighbor to be the neighbor, mm-hmm, to really know about who is next door, who is down the street, who is by themselves. It's really time for that check, so that, mm-hmm, everybody knows where everybody is, because this is critical. And mm-hmm, people are being lost, not just to COVID, but because of isolation, because of not having anyone to reach out to, or anyone to come and check on them. So that is great that, you know, that was on your heart to do that, because people need people.
Yeah, they need people. We need people. We need each other. And I don't want this to become a situation where we become so me and mine, my four and no more. I don't want this to become a situation where we only think about us. And I think that we have that can go on, because I don't want to give you germs, you know, I don't want to do whatever. Yeah. But the truth is that, you know, my family and I discussed this over the weekend. We got to find some balance to this, you know, we got to find some balance to this, because you can go the other route. And mm-hmm, so I think it's a serious time, you know, and I reemphasize that I think it's a serious time for people mentally. And the trauma, we have no clue what this is doing for people on the inside.
Absolutely.
And now with some of the other things that we're facing within our community and society, mm-hmm, it makes it even, you know, flooding and, mm-hmm, you know, racism and all of those things, it's making it even deeper.
Yeah. And we just entered into hurricane season as if we need something else. And so, yeah, a lot of the care and a lot of the preparation that you talked about is necessary even for hurricane season, as well as right now. It all ties together in being prepared and having information, being able to connect to people and being able to reach out and make a difference for somebody else. And so you're right on track. And I think it's so, so very important. And you've actually been sharing a lot of that on your nightly sessions and meetings, where we get to hear you minister. And you've been recently talking about overcoming worry, and I know that for many people this pandemic has just kind of knocked everybody off their boots, and, you know, has shocked everyone, and so it's been hard to sort of catch up and get a grip. And in that process, people are having to figure out life all over again, or figure out how to live and how to function. And worry is a key element that pops up, because nobody knows what the end result is, especially if they're not trusting in a savior who can give us a guarantee of peace. So it makes a difference.
Yes, it does. It's really a blessing to me, because I get a chance to share with people, they get a chance to share with me, you know, it's strengthening me. You know, when we think about it, I mean, I'm just looking at right now, people, even financially, it's one thing about the disease and with the feelings of loneliness, but the other thing is economics. And how does this, I love music, I love business. And how does this play into our economics? And how do you, or does a person, start a brand new journey financially in the midst of something like this? So now I believe that my shift, and I felt this strongly this morning, if I could say that.
Sure.
Very, very strongly this morning, is that we have to, especially those of us who are people of faith, we have to understand that, you know, we got to stay ahead. We can't just kind of sit down and wait and see what God is going to say. Now, of course, we do have to stay and wait and see what God is going to say. But when he says move, we have to move and act, and we have to create, and we have to make sure that we are on the side of productivity, so that we can be our brother's keeper. Because when all of the world's programs run out,
yes,
you know, you want to make sure that you have shifted and you have prospered in the midst of famine, so that you can be a blessing on the other side.
That's so true. That's what everybody's been finding out. And so I think that what has made the difference between this and a Katrina and a 100-year-old pandemic is the technology. We have a great, great opportunity to jump on board of what is right in front of you, what is at your fingertips. If you don't know it, let's start learning it. If somebody can tell you, ask the questions. It's in two simple words, get moving, you know, so that you can move forward and move ahead and find out where you fit in with this new way of living. And it's a new normal. I don't know how many people see things going back to what it was, because I think the heightened awareness is out of the roof. And so, you know, I always think mama taught us a long time ago when we were kids to wash our hands. And that's half the battle. Would have been won a long time ago. So if we go back to what we always knew, I think the basics still make a difference.
They make a difference in every way, spiritually, in every way. And life skills, they make a difference.
Every way. Right. Yeah, well, and of course, this time that everybody has been homebound and trying to figure out, you know, who they are, again, you've had time to not only minister to all of us, but you've been able to enjoy writing. Yeah. And so some people, again, finding new things that are happening or picking it up where you left off and getting it done. So you recently shared with everybody that you were so excited about a new book that is coming out, and you gave us a little peek.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. And let me say, I'll be honest with you, I've been a writer since I was a child, and I love writing. And I love writing, but just had not buckled myself down to release, other than songs. You know, I write my songs and I release them. But I love, you know, writing stories, and I wrote plays as a child. And now I believe this time has given me the time to finish what I started. That's one of the things.
Yeah.
The first thing that I got out of this time, okay, God, I got to finish what I started.
Right.
And in the midst, I had two books almost written, almost finished. But this book here, called Love Without Walls, is one that I'm releasing this summer, and I'm really excited about it because it deals with the embracing church or embracing faith unusual in unusual places, and how God uses different kinds of things to reach people. He goes beyond the barriers that men have put up to make sure that he reaches into hearts. And so it's called Love Without Walls for that reason. And I got a chance to share chapter one with everybody, and I'm excited about it. I thank you for reading.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I got my sneak peek and able to read into it, and I was trying to look for more pages, but it was wonderful. I'm looking forward to what is coming. And the part I loved is in the very beginning, how you shared about being able to travel and sing and have these experiences that God has afforded you. But in that moment, I love how stories come where you think you're just meeting somebody, and you meet this person who is absolutely, you know, determined to hear you sing. But out of it all, you discover in the area where you were that the church was closed. And so fast forward, here we are. Our churches are closed. Mm-hmm. And when I saw that analogy, I thought, man, here you are again facing something that does not seem possible. When would we ever think, when there's a church on every corner, that a church would be closed? And so we're having to realize, as many people know and some who don't know, that we are the church.
Yeah.
And so some have already made it clear the church has never been closed, because we are still alive, walking around, being able to deliver the message. But to have a building not be what we were accustomed to it bringing us, you know, the joining together, the community, all of that has changed. And so that resonated with you in a very special way.
Yeah, it did. It you know, I when the Lord showed me, like I said, in it was early 90s when I had that experience that you're talking about in Switzerland. And here I am in this beautiful place, and the lady hitchhiked to see me sing. She hitchhiked, and I'm like, I love me, but why?
Would I hitchhike?
I would not hit. And when, you know, of course, I was informed by somebody at the door that this lady had come, young lady, and long story, when I asked her about it, and she basically, I wanted to visit the church there, and I was asking her about the church, and she said, well, that the church was closed, and it had been closed for a couple of years, and I mean, like, maybe closed to tours, I was thinking,
yeah,
but not closed, you know. And she said, oh, you know, that there weren't many believers there. Long story, she really just blew all of my Sunday morning, what I think got to happen, mindset at that time. I had, yeah. I couldn't imagine a church close. And this was, like I said, early 90s. Mm-hmm. And I did get a chance to see it with locks on it and looked like it had been closed for some time. Mm-hmm. When I asked her, well, where do you go to worship? And she said, I go to the mountains and I worship.
Wow.
And that whole weekend was quite, that time there was quite something for me. But when this thing happened with the corona and all of a sudden we couldn't just go to, you know, I had my key. I couldn't just, you know, go do what I normally do.
Yeah.
It really got to me because, you know, it just reemphasized, as you just said so beautifully, it reemphasized even the more the importance of discipleship and of us being the church. Mm-hmm. You know, the building is one thing, but it was crazy because I had been telling people in our ministry that said, you know, come springtime, y'all might catch me on the lake. Mm-hmm. Because we got to get out of this building. We have a really nice facility and I thank God for it. But the truth is, many times when I would go to do Soulful Sunday, which was like 2:30 in the evening at the restaurant, there would be more people in the restaurant,
yeah,
you know, that I would minister to, be honest with you, mm-hmm. than Sunday morning for what we call service.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I began to tell myself, y'all gonna find me on a lake. And 2 weeks before this thing happened with COVID, I asked everybody to meet me on the lake, on the balcony, over there by the restaurant. And we just kind of shared the word right there. And then a couple of weeks later, here we were in a situation where we literally had to do it online,
yeah.
or, you know, do something like that because, mm-hmm. you know, the building was closed. It wasn't church, the yeah. Church of Jesus Christ. We have been released into the world. We have been deployed, as we say,
yeah.
to doing and being who we really are called to be. So I think it's a beautiful time in that case.
Yeah, and I think that's the bittersweet that happens in every situation. You know, Katrina was horrible, but then so many wonderful things came out of that mm-hmm. experience for people who never knew they could live somewhere else and flourish, or who never knew they could make it on their own, who never knew they could stand on their own 2 feet and actually do something that maybe they had only dreamed of. So this is the same in that manner, where you got to take a step of faith that you don't know the end result to, but trust and rest assured that the end is going to be beautiful, because you're going to be walking through a door of more great opportunities and yeah. possibilities, you know. Same as yourself, wanting to do a podcast and said last year, oh, let's just, you know, start the podcast and let's call it Focus. And then 2020 came and everybody started focusing. And I said, okay, Lisa, I think you're behind now. You better catch up. So, and here we are. And so amen to that, because you have to sometimes just start and not worry about all that's not in place and just start. And everything catches up, you know, so I'm just excited and thrilled. And so when can we expect the book to be out?
The book will be out by July, and sometime between June and July, but no later than July. I'm putting myself on a timeline because I hope I get a chance to come back, because I'm really excited about mm-hmm. what I believe God is saying and, you know, what he spoke to me in my heart. And it's just a matter of being able to share it with other people.
Absolutely. Well, we definitely have to have you back, because I could keep going and then somebody's going to say, well, I gotta go do something, like go and teach my kids in the other room. Since we have, everybody's a parent, you know, to somebody yeah. now. It's been amazing to see what we can do. The creativity has been endless and it keeps coming. And I love everything that I'm seeing, the resiliency of the world, because this has not hit just New Orleans. This has hit the world. And it's really been amazing to see what reactions have happened and what growth and new opportunities that have come out of this situation. So yeah, I think as a pastor, you see one way where this is definitely a reset. Somebody might think, you know, they've been retired, but yeah. but for some, it's something renewing in you because you're having to either do it again, do it a different way, or find something new to do. And so it's a new birth for a lot of things. And I think like the mama kicks the bird out of the nest, you know, and we've been booted out.
right.
So we can do it. So yeah, I definitely want you to come back. Maybe we can do some music so we can highlight that. And maybe some legacy suites might come with that.
That sounds real good.
Oh, I love it. Well, Tara, I am so thrilled to finally get a chance to have you on and to be able to share you with everyone and all that you do. I'm absolutely thrilled and proud to know you, and just thank God for all that he's doing through you. And I think especially now, it's just been a blessing to see how you have still connected with people. People are connecting to you because they know what is in your heart. They know what God is doing, and we want to continue lifting not only you up and supporting you, but what you all do for those in the community. We have many artists and people who we know are struggling with COVID-19, coming out of it or have not survived. We know that it's been hitting relatives hard. People getting it and contracting it in ways that you don't even know, because it's just this invisible horror that is, you know, upon us. And so we really implore everybody to just stay safe and to do what's necessary. Have a hurricane plan. I don't know where we're going.
but have a plan,
you know, be able to communicate, like you said, know people's phone numbers, get back to memorizing those 7 digits.
right.
So you can know. So what's in your heart as a message of hope? Because that's another area that something that I started, and I want to take a plug of this and put it there so we can repeat it again. What is your message of hope for everyone listening?
You know, I believe part of in my book, I talk about a conversation I had with my grandfather, and it ended up being one of those things that I thought I was helping him, but in fact, he was helping me. He looked at me one day, and I was taking care of him. He had just dementia, almost dementia-like episode, where he could remember the past like he was just right there. And he looked at me one day, and he said, "You know, you don't sing like you used to sing." And, you know, I can't believe it. That is like, you don't tell a singer that, right? And I'm cooking some grits, and I just felt like, man, I'm about to do the Al Green on him. I can't believe it.
What did you say?
I'm taken aback. But he continued to look at me, and he said, he began to tell me about some old shows that I had done, some festivals that I had done, and how he remembered when he would hear me and how the people loved me. And I was in a situation where I was doing ministry. I was in ministry, but I was always explaining my motives, myself, my choice of song, my choice of attire, and all of these different things. And I just realized what he was saying was true, because he finally said to me this word. He said, "You used to be free." And I started remembering that I love red shoes, and I love big hair. And he would tell me how I would shake my hair till I shook the curls out, and I'm telling you, and I wrote a song eventually about it. I don't have the time to go into all of what happened, but I wrote a song later on after he passed called Full Circle. And it's about getting back to being me, because the real me was stuck up under so much, so many emotions and experiences and what have you. And the enemy was using all this stuff to try to snuff me out, so to speak. But I began to make my way up through all of that and excavate in my own life. And God did a work that brought me back to who I was in him and the freedom that I had in him. That childlikeness about music and ministry and the things that I love, not childishness, but childlikeness.
Yes.
So it excites you. Yes. And I'm believing God that in this season that we're going to get back to that place where we're excited about the things we're excited about, and we begin to move away all the unnecessary things to get to the real deal of who God made us and how he made us and the charge that we have to be who we really are, so that we can bless the people that he has assigned for us to bless. So I believe my message of hope is, hope is your God expectation. And so I believe that in every situation, we have hope, we have the possibility that God will come through. And if we know his heart, and we do, we know that he comes through and we win every time.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Well, I love that. And, you know, I know there were lots of things I wanted to mention, and you reminded me when you spoke about the hope and how and what he said to you. You have overcome so much. And we mentioned early on that this has not always been a glorious route. You've had to experience some challenges and some tough times. And I think you said one time, doctors told you that you actually might not sing again. Mm-hmm. Because of something that you went through, and we didn't get to share that, but I want people to hear that overcoming story.
Well, you know, I was diagnosed in 2012 with thyroid cancer, and for a singer, you know, people say, well, thyroid, you know, people get for a singer to any for anybody to do something in your yes. throat is a big deal. You know, I was a child when I had a sore throat. Finally, the doctor, when I was a little girl, wanted to take out my tonsils. So they come back and ask me, is your throat hurt now? I said, no, because you were not going to operate on my throat. Right. And so when I got to be older and now they want to operate, and they began to tell me it was thyroid cancer, and God is so good. You know, my grandma used to say, you know, he'll keep you from danger, seen and unseen. And we just hear those things when we were little. But I'm here to tell you it happened, that he yeah. kept from danger, seen and unseen. I didn't see it. I didn't have any symptoms. And here I was now diagnosed. And God is so faithful that he brought me through two surgeries and through even years of recovery. You know, of course, the cancer is gone. Cancer was gone. They took that away, you know, what have you. But I still had to go through the process of being able to do it again. Mm-hmm. And so I'm excited that I'm on the other side of that. You know, I'm cancer free, but I am about 7 years plus into recovering vocally. Yes. And I'm almost there. You know, I'm not 100% just say the same full range or what have you. But every time I get to sing, it's just a blessing. Every time I get to sing or use my voice, even in this manner, it's a blessing. So they had some challenges. They didn't know. My doctor assured me that I would, but I had some other doctors. One of my doctors assured me that you will sing, but it's going to take some time. But I did have a vocal coach that was wondering. She said, I didn't know. And finally she said, you're going to have to sing with the voice you have. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, because, you know, what was coming out was not but I wanted to be coming out, you know.
I got to be more.
But I had to just start. I had to start with the microphone with nothing coming out, just mouthing it. And then I got to the point where maybe I could kind of do the tenor line, and I could barely do that. And then I got to where I could do, you know, a little bit more and a little bit more. So through the years, it's been something. So now, finally, a couple of years ago, the Lord said, you know, go out there and let people show them that I'm real. And so he really released me into go back and go into my music like never before and really just share the voice I do have with the world. And now I have this testimony to go with it. And it's just been amazing.
Well, I will tell you, it has been, it still is. And the voice you have is amazing. And wherever God allows it to grow, as many people say, it still will be heard. As it's heard right now, still will be a blessing, still will, you know, touch and heal and help somebody. I believe people going through COVID are having the same experience, having to learn how to walk again, how to breathe again, how mm-hmm. to look at life in a way that they can function and survive and thrive in. So you relate very well to what people are going through. And so we just keep everybody lifted, you know, in prayer for their recovery, for your continued progress and all that you continue to do. We absolutely appreciate you. I know I do. And I can't wait for you to come back so we can talk about the book and get into it and do some singing and all of that. So how can everybody stay connected with you and get in touch and join in with you, what you're doing?
You can connect with me at, it's real easy, www.withgodwewin.com. It's real simple, withgodwewin.com. You can go there, to the website, and that can give you all of the contact information. And of course, I'm on Facebook at Tara Alexander Online, so you can connect with that as well. And it's just, you know, the internet, the social media, it's just a blessing. So feel free, you can inbox me, you know, we'll send you a number, whatever. That's exactly where you can find.
Well, I love it. So Tara Alexander, I thank you so much, sister, for being here with me today and spending some time with me. It's been a blessing. And I really appreciate it. So everyone, Another Focus Podcast in the books, and we want you to share this and let everybody know to get ready because more is coming, and we just want to keep the inspiration going. So thanks for listening, and until next time, stay focused.